We're turning to Acts chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. I hear that scripture quite a bit in my heart. And I want to go back up to what brought this particular words that were spoken. These words were spoken by an angel. Angels speak words. So you think, well, why didn't angels get out there and speak the words of this life? Why aren't angels out here preaching the gospel? Question I'll ask God when I get to heaven, but I think I already know the answer. Let's go back and review real quickly here what happened. Verse 12. Let's start with verse 12 of chapter 5. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, these are the words the angel said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So words are extremely important. And God told them by that voice and the words of an angel to go speak to the people. Did he say some of the words? All the words of this life. Now, is he talking about just natural life? Is he just talking about natural living? You know, I can talk about vitamins and life and things that pertain to this physical body, life things, psychology things, all the things that pertain to natural living. But he's talking here about a different words that pertain to eternal life. See, these words are that the angel is telling them to go speak. All the words of this life, it's not talking about like right now life, the life that exists in the spirit realm where God wants his people to live. Words of this life. There's so many words of this life. Anybody ever gone to a library and looked at all the books that's been written? You know what's on those pages? Words are on those pages. And pretty much everything in that library, that public library, is all about this life. I'm not talking the life the angel's talking about. I'm talking about the life of just living as, you know, you got history section, you got the fictional section, you got all these sections, you got religions of the world, and you got all these things. Just walk through a library and you'll see all these books with words on them. And they're pretty much talking about life as a natural man can understand. But the angel here is talking about the life of God that we're supposed to be living. And words are very powerful in understanding what God, you got to speak the words of this life. And we're not talking about like living here, the life of God, life of God. Words are so powerful. Words are so important. Words are so just, I mean, you just got to get a revelation of it. Now I'm going to tell you where my revelation began. I was about 27 years old. I just had a new baby. And I was going through a lot of abuse in the marriage I was in. And I was on my knees before God. And of course, I spent a lot of time on my knees before God. And I was praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he spoke to me so clearly that I will never forget it as long as I live. God ever talks to you, you know God's talking to you. Okay? I mean, you may not believe what I'm telling you tonight, today, but I'm telling you, I know it happened. So I'm on my knees before God. We're holding this baby in my arms. And he spoke these words to me. And this is what I heard God say. He said, I'm praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to bring an interpretation to me. Now, at this time, I'm only a few years old in the Lord. I didn't understand what he was saying to me. I really didn't grasp the whole magnitude of what he said to me. But this is what he said to me. He said, you are mortal. You have no power. And your words are just like you. They have no power. They're mortal words coming out of a mortal being. But this is what he said. He said, you are mortal and your words are just like you. They have no power. But I am immortal and I am all power. Did you get that? God said that to me. He said, I am all power. You got to see, words create a picture. You got to get the picture. Now words are creating something in your mind right now. God said to me, and when he said that to me, I saw the universes, the suns, the moons, the stars, and all the things that God created. And I saw he's all power. And he's working in all this universe, the universes, billions of them, billions of universe. And he said to me, I am a little girl, just 27 years old, beaten and broken and heartbroken. I'm a believer and I'm spirit filled and I'm crying out to God out of my heart. And he says to me, I no more expected him to say these words to me than a man on the moon. But he's saying these things to me. And he said, I am immortal. And my words, and I'm all powerful. And then he said, and my words are just like me. Now, if you ever get a revelation of that, it will change your life forever. It changed my life forever. And he said to me, he said, if you will take my words that are like me, that are all powerful and immortal, and you will believe them in your heart and you will speak them out of your heart, they will be as though I had spoken them. That's a pretty heavy duty mandate on a little young girl, 27 years old with a baby, three babies. That's heavy. That's a revelation word from God to me. Now, did I run off and save the world right then? Did I run off and do anything of great power and things like that? No, because it took years. It's taken me years to get to the place where I could walk in this revelation. And I'm walking in some serious revelation of this. And I'm speaking to things. I'm speaking to things and I'm seeing them manifested, because it's not something I'm speaking. It's what God has given me to speak. It's his words. And so when the disciples, I believe they spent 3.5 years with Jesus and they understood what the angel was saying to them. The angel opened the door. You go speak to the people all the words of this life. And they understood Almighty God's all-powerful words that are going to change the world. So the life is in the Word. I'm telling you, if you have a revelation, the life is in the Word. Now let me show you some things here. Let me show you a few more verses. Let's just do some marathon here. Look at St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6. I believe in backing everything I share up with the Word of God. If you can't find it in the Word, you just need to pitch it out the window. You don't need to believe it. It sounds good. It feels good. It's religious looking, and it's a God's explanation. You're figuring out, well, this is why this happened, because, you know, God knows everything, and God's got plans. I mean, we try to figure God out, and we try to explain why things don't happen the way we think it should, and we come up with our own ideas. But I say, stay with the Word. Stay with what God has said, and you're going to see great and mighty things in your life. Jesus said here, and it's in St. John chapter 6, St. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus understood. How powerful his words were, because he was God manifested in the flesh. He was all God and he was all man. All God and all man. See, I have a man in heaven. I have a man representing me in the presence of God. And you do too. You do too. See, these words are Zoe words. That's a Greek word that means life, eternal life. God doesn't live in the natural realm of life. He lives in His way of life. God is a God of the supernatural realm. And God is life. I mean, He is the source of all that exists. God is life. I mean, God is absolutely He is life. And Jesus made the statement. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So it only makes sense that anything that ever came out of His being was truth, way, and life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So anything He spoke out of His mouth was life. And it was supernatural words of a supernatural God who had supernatural power in the words. Words are containers. Words create. Words are powerful if they're spoken out of a human spirit who believes the Word of God. Amen. Truly powerful. And now Jesus understood that when He said, stretch forth thy hand. He was speaking God into that hand. When He was said, be whole. He was speaking God's words into that whatever needed to be whole. He was all God. He had the Spirit without measure. And it's the Spirit, when you understand the Word of God is Spirit words. It's powerful words. You cannot separate God from His Spirit. They're three in, they're all, but they're one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Genesis. I just want to go to Genesis here. Genesis chapter 1, you'll never find one place ever in the New Testament that records about the life and times of Jesus where Jesus ever said, no, I won't heal you. Never said it. Never said, no, I'm not going to do that. He never turned to anybody. He never said no. It's always the will of God to heal. And we've heard, oh, but God might not want to heal this one today. Or there might be a reason that God's got a plan. No, God never turned anyone away, ever, that came to Him for healing. But there was a problem with the people having faith. There was a problem with people receiving what He had to give them out of His being. He carried the Word of God. He is the Word of God. John 1:1. We all know St. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word. I'm talking Word. God is, you cannot separate God from who He is. You can't separate God's Word. God's Word is God. Find a word from God on something. Always said, don't pray your problem. Pray your answer. Pray the Word into your situation. Believe the Word into your situation. Speak the Word to your mountain. But you can't speak your word. You got to speak God's Word. But you better be believing it. Better be believing it. Look at Genesis chapter 1. And I want to go to verse 26. And God said. Now, does God just say? What does God used to talk with? God talks. God said. Now, you heard, if you read something and said, Teresa said, what would you think I was doing? Talking words. Right? If you read the book first, just account of how God created everything, because God is all power and God is life and He is Almighty God, I'll guarantee you anything God says happens. I don't care what He says. It will happen. He's all truth. He's all powerful. He's Almighty God. And if God said, let there be light, there's light. If God said, I don't care what He says, it's going to happen. He's Almighty God. He spoke to me at the age of 27. He said, I'm all powerful and my words are just like me. You can't separate me from my words. Here's God talking. God is talking. And look what He said about man. Now, man has not existed yet. There's no man yet. But God said. He said words. And these are the words. We're hearing words God said. God said. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Over all the earth. Oh, my goodness. Over all the, God said over all the earth. He did. That's what he said. I'm just sharing God's word here. What God said, and he used words to say it. And words create a picture, don't they? In your mind, you're seeing a picture right now. Here's God talking. I'm going to create. We, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're together. They're one. Let us, is more than one being, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, they say the animal kingdom has a certain kind of ability to communicate with each other. But do you know, they don't talk words to talk to each other. You don't hear them framing words with their mouth. You don't hear them thinking and talking in word form. But man was created to be able to speak words. And we are so much more like God than we realize. But this gives us a clue and some revelation here that God wanted to create a being that was as close to me, as much like him, that he could possibly create in the natural, but yet in the spirit realm too. Because God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that living part of you is his spirit that he imparted to you, and that's the man will live forever. Man is an eternal being. Man is not just flesh and bone, and man is not just a soul in a body like animals, but man is a spirit, possesses a soul, and lives in a body. So we are spirit being. In the beginning, that's how it was supposed to be. The spirit was to rule. The spirit was the part of us who walk with God, talk with God. God is a spirit. You communicate with God through your spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in their human spirit through spirit of truth. He is truth. And if you're not walking out of your spirit, man, in truth, and you've not learned how to do that very well, it's kind of like learning how to ride a bicycle. You've been in the dark so long, and you've been living out of your soul realm so long because your spirit was dead in trespasses and sin. But when you get born again, your spirit is quickened. God said, I'll take that stony heart out of you. I'm going to put my heart in you. I'll give you a heart of flesh that you can know my ways. He said, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, I will place my word in your mind, and I'll write it in your heart. He couldn't write a word of his powerful word in a person's heart until they had been regenerated and redeemed and been born again and been given a heart that could receive his word and be able to speak it out of his heart. So many of us live out of our soul, and we've never walked out of our spirit. And the only way to walk out of your human spirit is to get your spirit man filled with his word. Get full of his word and begin to speak it out of your heart. Recognize there is three parts to you. You are a spirit first. Go with me to Luke chapter 4. We're more like God than we realize. And he gave us a mandate as a human race in the beginning. He said, I want you to dominate the whole earth. And words were how we were going to do it. Words. Everything God created was by words. We're in his image and we're in his likeness. So words are very powerful. And if you take some time and study the word out, study the word and recognize how powerful his word in your mouth will be. How powerful words are, period. Words are containers. Proverbs says the life and death is in the power of the tongue. Your tongue is what's shaping and forming words. So Luke chapter 4. Let's look at verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach with words. You say you preach with words, don't you? I'm sure I'm speaking words today. Words of this life. I'm talking God's life, Zoe life, eternal life. And he says, to preach the gospel to the poor, good news. Gospel means good news. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Words heal. The word of God will heal you. The word of God will restore your spirit, your soul, and your body. The word of God is so powerful Doesn't it say in Hebrews, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart? God's word will shape you up, change you, and make you see where you're missing it. Won't it? Because it's quick. It's got life-giving ability in it. It's got creative power in it. The word of God is quick and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm talking power, dominion. A lot of times when you read the translations, power and dominion, to be able to dominate is a powerful thing. To dominate, power. When he told man, he said, I'm going to make you my likeness and my image. He said, I'm going to give you dominion. He was really saying, you're going to have authority and you're going to have power to rule in this earth. That police officer that's at the four-way stop and the headlight, the traffic lights are out, he doesn't come out there with his own power and grab a truck and stop it. But he's got authority because there's power and authority backing up who he represents. And everybody minds him. It's amazing. A little old man out there with a badge can just stop everybody. Because we recognize the authority, we recognize the power, and the devil will do the same thing when you know who you are. He knows whether you know who you are. That's the key. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus is talking about himself. He is literally, he's in his hometown. He's pulled up this scripture in Isaiah and he's quoting it. And he's telling the people, they weren't ready for what was getting ready to come next after he shared that scripture. But this is what he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, it's first person now. For over 800 years, they were just reading that verse and thinking, well, one day somebody will fill those shoes. Someday that'll be fulfilled. Jesus stepped in that day, and when he spoke those words, the living word of God spoke those words, he knew it was him. He was saying it on a first person basis. First person. He's talking out of his heart. And he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. See, words had to be spoken for these things to manifest. Preaching and teaching was the primary way that God heals and healed the people. It's the primary way he still heals. I tell you, why is it so important those angels had to get him out of prison and go speak the words of this life to the people? Because it's words that bring faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God in faith spoken to a spirit will waken that person up, and they'll say, I heard some word today. I heard some word. And it's doing something on the inside of me. I tell you, a lot of times we preach to people out of our soul realm, and it falls on their soul realm. It makes them feel good. But when you start speaking word of God with the anointing on it, the word of God is anointed. And if you speak it out of your spirit, it's anointed too. You have an anointing if you know you've got the Holy Ghost. You've got the Holy Ghost. You are anointed. Now, you are not anointed in the measure Jesus was anointed, but we're anointed. I'm anointed of God. Some of us have different, like I said, we've developed some. Our human spirits have developed more than others. But Jesus here, he is the Word made flesh, and he dwelt among us. That's what John said. We've beheld him. We've handled him, the Word of life. You'll take hold of what I'm sharing today. It'll change your life. Change my life. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So how many times the word preach there? Preach, preach, preach. Words, words, words are important to the Son of God. Words are important to God. Words, his words. Powerful words. My words are just like me, he told me. I'm all powerful. I'm immortal. And my words are just like me. You can't separate God's power from his power of his words. He's just waiting on us to believe that and take hold of it and do something with it, what he's given us to do. I can't save everybody, but there are people that I'm assigned to speak his words to. I believe the angels are saying to us, go forth and speak the words of this life to the people, all the words of this life. Well, how much word is working in your life? How much word of God is affecting your life? Big deal, big deal. How much word is dominating your life? Jesus said here, closed the verse 20, he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and he sat down and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this word or this scripture is fulfilled in your ear. This was a prophetic word spoken out of a prophet anointed of God by the Holy Ghost. And it was recorded over 800 years before Jesus was born. And now it has been filled full. It is fulfilled and it means it's filled full. There's no more can happen here. This is it. So when you look at Jesus and you come to Jesus and you come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, help, and mercy, you just know that he will not say anything but what he has already said in the Word. This Word is him. He is living Word. And you can find a Word. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. The prophet Isaiah in 53 says that by the stripes of Jesus, that by his stripes, by his stripes. He's beating. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Because this is a word that was spoken for a future moment. Just like this word was spoken for a future moment. And we know Jesus came. We know that Jesus was raised from the dead. We know Jesus. We've got a personal relationship with the Lord. The living word of God. We know he's real. You have to tell me he ain't real. I had a conversation the other day with a lady about Jesus being real. Well, I know he's real. You can't tell me he ain't real because I encountered Jesus. I have an encounter with him every day. I talk to him every day. Let's see what the words, just as much as the same prophet by the anointing of God that spoke the words that Jesus said was filled full in him. So let's just go there real quick. Isaiah 61. Look at Isaiah 61. I'm just going to show you something. Take a little side journey here. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Jesus was who? The Spirit of God, working through the prophet of God, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, was prophesying about a future day that was coming. Okay? And the same, and all through the Bible, there's prophets who are speaking a prophetic word about a future event. And Jesus said, this day, this is filled full. This is accomplished today. There can't ever be anybody else come along and add anything to this. I have fulfilled it today. Now look what he says here in Isaiah 53. Verse 2. Let's just start with verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now we all can say yes to that. We can all say, oh yeah, that's right. He was despised. You know, all these things, we can look at this and identify that this is the word of God spoken by the prophet of God about a future moment, about a future person that's coming. This is words of God. Remember, God's words are powerful, and whatever he says, it happens every single time. If God's word ever failed to happen, do you know what would happen to the universe? It'd fall apart. If God ever told a lie, if God ever got it wrong, the planets, the stars, the moon, everything would fly out of orbit. It'd all just blow up. Because the word says in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, it says that he upholds the word, the whole universe is upheld by the word of his power. So God's word is really, really, really important. It's holding everything together, every fiber, every molecule, every single cell, every single thing, every atom, every neutron, everything is upheld right now by the word of God's power. Because until God said it's going to be that way, it's going to be that way because he said it. And so we got to look at Isaiah. What did Isaiah say about this person that had not come yet? Same prophet. He spoke Isaiah 63, but he's saying something here. And we can say, oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. Verse 3 is true. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's true. He was despised. We believe that. We have a problem believing that. That's the word of God, isn't it? Then you go on down and you read a little bit more about it. He said, Well, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, he hadn't done it yet, had he? Because he hadn't been born yet. But I'm telling you, Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. He hath borne your griefs. See, this is future tense. He's talking about an event that's going to happen. Well, it has happened, brothers and sisters. There's not another moment that you need to be in grief because he's already bore that grief away for you. There's not another moment that you need to be carrying sorrow because he's already bore that sorrow. If it says he carried our griefs and bore our sorrow, that's what he meant. But see, we like to carry burdens. We like to carry sorrows. We like to feel like we're just the down and outers of the world and treading through this dark world and everybody hates us and we're just going to suffer with Jesus till we get to heaven. I've learned how to give God my sorrows. I've learned how to give him and let him. He's already bore them. He bore them 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross and was beaten for me. That's when he bore my sorrows away. That's when grief was taken away. But see, our soul still wants to hang on to stuff. But till the light comes on, revelation, word of God starts to see. Oh, wow. He already bore that. Why am I doing bearing that? Well, a lot of times we like poor pity parties. Oh, it feels so good to feel sorry for myself. Poor people. I tell you, I mean, we get so used to that way of life. We've been in the soul realm so years. You know, the devil put the lights out when Adam turned high treason. The light was turned out. So man became basically ruled by his soul realm, by his own his own wit. Remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, that set us up for everything. Is this right? Is this wrong? We got to figure it out now from now on in our soul realm. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Every choice we make is based on our own ability to figure it out. Because we've lost that life, that connection to the power of God and the word of God in our human spirits. But he said it's been given back in Christ. It's been given back. See, you're hearing words of life, the words of this life today. I'm not talking about this physical life or this natural life. I'm talking about the life that God has given us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection life. See, resurrection life is where we are supposed to be living. The resurrection power is supposed to be working in us. And how does resurrection power work? It works through your words. You'll never outgrow or outbelieve what you're saying about yourself. Your words will keep you in bondage. If you say, I can't do it, well, I could talk to you, but I'm blue in the face. You won't believe it because you've already said it. I can't. But if you'll put God's word in your mouth, see, that's what he was saying to me years ago. He said, but if you will take my words that are just like me, that are all powerful, and you will believe them in your heart and speak them out of your mouth, it'll be as if I said them. I couldn't imagine. I said, how do you do that? How do you do it? You develop your human spirit to get to that level of being able to do it. And I started out very, very small level. We all start out small. Line up on line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. See, Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And if you don't have him as your chief cornerstone and some preacher down the road is your chief cornerstone, you're going to miss it. Jesus has to be your chief cornerstone. And the cornerstone is a very important building block because every single block is supposed to look just like him and line up with him. Am I preaching good or what? Amen. Is this word? It's word of God. He is the chief cornerstone. And they've stumbled at the word. He said they're going to stumble at the word. They'll stump their toe on the word is what he's saying. It'll be like a stumbling block to some. But if you'll let it fall on you, it'll crush you to powder. It'll change you forever. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground, it remains alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. I just want to be fruitful. I want to get me out of the way. I want to die to my self-preconceived ideas and notions, and I want God's word to be number one in my life. I want to know God's word in my spirit. I want that word of God written in my heart. And I want to be every word that comes out of my mouth to be word of God. I want to speak life to situations. Now, am I perfect? No, I'm not perfect. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to work through your human spirit. You come in agreement with his words and you speak it like it's God talking. You go around saying, I'm sick, and woe is me. You aren't speaking word of God. Because here's what the word of God says. He's bore our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, we know that's true. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But this is the part people stump their toe on. And with his stripes we are healed. Well, let's hold off on believing that for a little while. Are healed? See, this is a future day this is going to be filled for, fulfilled. And we know it was. We know it was filled full. We know that he took the beating. He took the 39 stripes. He bore our griefs. He carried it. He literally walked out the word of God. He was obedient to God in every way. Hallelujah. Anybody getting anything this morning? I'm getting something myself. I'm getting excited about it. Because I'll never forget the day he said that to me. And God knew what he was going to do with my life. He knows what he's going to do with your life. He's got plans for you. But you're limiting God with what you're saying. If you don't start lining up your mouth with God, you're in trouble. You're either agreeing with the devil or God. And some of us have been deceived to believe in the wrong things. I don't want to believe the wrong things. I want to believe the word of God. I want to believe what God has said. 1 Peter 2:24. You know, I've learned to, I've never memorized a verse of scripture. I've never sat down and tried only one time that I can remember ever trying to memorize a verse of scripture. And I thought, well, maybe if I memorize the whole Bible 35 years ago, well, I'll try to memorize it. And I'm just not a good memorizer. I'm just not good at memory things. But see, memory is out of the soul realm. Memory is based in your soul. But when you get the Word of God written in your heart, it's a whole different way of getting the Word of God. Whole different way. 1 Peter 2:24. His own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. Everybody believes that? Oh, I don't know. A Christian in the world don't believe that. That they've been born again. That's what took to get you born again. But it's a word of God that you believe that got you born again. You had to believe what you heard, that he died on a cross, and you heard the gospel message of the death of Jesus for your sins, the sacrifice that he made, the blood was shed for you to be forgiven. You heard that word and you believed it in your heart. And then you had to confess it with your mouth, because we overcome by the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony is how we overcome, and we love not our lives unto the death. That's a powerful revelation right there. I had to come to understand. I just can't just believe it. I got to confess it. I got to say that I was saved. I got to say that I was born again. First thing God said to me when I got born again is, you go tell your parents what's happened to you. Go tell somebody with your mouth the words of this life, that you were saved. Go talk about it. And the more I talked about it, the more powerful it became in me, the more real it became in me, because it was now not just God telling me to say it. I'm saying it. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I've been set free. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I've been saying it for 35 years, and it's made it stronger and clearer and more real to me than ever, because those words dominate me. I'm a Christian. Boldly say it. I know I am. I'm not a bit backward about telling you about it. Not a bit. But we pussyfoot around and play around with the rest of this verse, and we say, well, maybe God don't want you healed. But it clearly says if he wants you saved, he wants you healed too. It comes with the package of salvation. God didn't just save all part of man. He saved the spirit, soul, and the body. God dealt with the whole man. Because did he not, when he made man, did he not make just a body? Did he not just make a soul, a mind, a will, and emotion? But he made the whole man. And he told the whole man to have dominion. The whole man was supposed to have authority over the earth and dominion over the earth. The whole, all the earth. Oh, but not your body. Oh, you know your body. Just things happen to the body. And God uses sickness to teach you something. Let me tell you, and you can't find that in the Word of God. And let me tell you something else you'll never hear, ever, ever, ever. If anybody can bring it to me, show it to me. It'll never, ever say and tell us to go to God to deal with the devil. You can't find a scripture that says, go to God and ask God to deal with the devil. It's not in there. I've tried to find it. The instructions. I got to go by the word, which is the instructions of how to live for God. This is his word, by the way. I mean, I'm not making it up as I go, am I? I'm not trying to figure it out on my own, am I? I got to hear a word. I got to have some instructions from the Almighty God who had literally spoke this word. It's his word anyway. I've just showed up for duty. What's the instructions, God? I'm going to get my preconceived ideas out of here. I want to hear from you, God. Because man will come in and tell you all kinds of stuff that is not word. I said, okay, God, I got to understand this. He said, if you'll just believe my word is all powerful, my word is just like me. How clear could he make that to a baby Christian? And then it put a whole new light on the word of God to me. And then another thing that is so important is mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Words can be established in your heart. There's three witnesses in heaven, earth, and in hell. There's three witnesses. You know that? There's three witnesses. Always three witnesses. Sometimes four. I tell you, there's four witnesses that the just shall live by faith. It's in Habakkuk. It's in Romans. It's in Galatians. And it's in Hebrews. The just shall live by his faith. I can't live on your faith. I got to live on my faith. And the faith that I'm living out has got to be based on this word, which are God's words spoken to me personally. That's how I live out my life. I listen to a lot of things. I've learned to eat the hay and leave the stubble. I know what's right because I know what's the word. It's lined up with the word. I got a yardstick now. My yardstick used to be this little big. Now it's growing. I got God's word growing, growing, growing. Now I got more to line. If I hear something that sounds weird to me, I don't throw it out the door. I put it on a shelf and I wait to where it makes sense to me because it might just be God. You got to learn to line up the word. The word has got to line up with his word, not with my ideas. Look at this. Look at this. Look at Peter again. So we have no problem believing. We have no problem believing. He bore our sins. Yeah, he did. What he went through was horrific. And his own body on a tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Yeah, raised to newness of life. It's a whole way of life now. That's the mandate. But then he says, by whose stripes you were healed. If he bore my sicknesses, he carried my diseases. In Isaiah 53, that's where this now has happened. This is now a done thing. This is done. He did it. 2,000 years ago. The wonderful thing about God is that he's already proclaimed his word. In other words, every day, does God have to get out and say, let there be light every day? We just know the sun's going to come up, don't we? Does God have to come down and say any more than he's already said to make things continue to work? If he has said this is the way it is, that is the way it is, and I accept it, because I'm not God. He's God. He doesn't come back down and add any more to his word. I just believe it. I've lined my life up with his word. It ain't been easy. I'm going to tell you what, it still ain't easy. It ain't ever going to be easy. Your flesh dies a hard death. It doesn't want to be good. Your flesh will never be in agreement with God's word. Just accept that. It's never going to like the word. You're going to get a new revelation every day. God can give you a new revelation every day. Maybe not every day, but God can give you a new revelation all the time. And when you, it's really the word that you hear, that you believe, and you walk out is going to affect your life.